Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. For He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen to that. Heavenly Father, pour out Your Spirit upon us now. Lead us to the cross and lead us to the place where we receive the gifts that You so generously offer each one of us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start with a little parable, a little story about a second-rate orchestra that had a second-rate conductor, because the conductor had a bad, bad habit of being about an hour and a half late for every rehearsal. And even when he did show up, he verbally abused the people in his orchestra. He was kind of a bad dude, second-rate conductor. Now, in this particular orchestra, there was a guy who played the clashing cymbals. You know what the clashing, is that the proper name for him? I don't know. It's the guy with the two cymbals. Yeah. You know, and the guy that played although he was very enthusiastic about it, it seemed like every time he was just a fraction of a second off in his timing. And the conductor really got frustrated with him. And one day, he says, "You better get that right this time or I'll take you out and shoot you." So they got into the piece again, and it came time for this guy to hit the clashing cymbals. And guess what? He was off about a quarter of a second. Well, the conductor pulled out a revolver and shot him dead right on the spot. He was arrested and tried and sentenced, and he ended up on death row. The day came for him to go to the electric chair, and they put him and they strapped him in the chair, and the warden said, "Turn on the juice." And the guy turned the juice on, and nothing happened. And everybody looked around and said, "What's wrong here?" And the warden says, "Try it again." And the guy flipped the switch again and said, "Nothing happened again." They couldn't figure out what was going on, but the conductor knew what was wrong. After all the sadness of the kind of life he lived, he said, "I never really was a very good conductor."
Right on course.
I don't know. That's a bad one, isn't it?
Yep.
In contrast to that second-rate conductor, I want to talk about the conductor par excellence, Christ Jesus the Lord, who is the creator and the king of the universe, and he's standing at his rostrum, and he has his baton in his hand, you know? And he's moving it, swaying it back and forth in concert with the music of the spheres as he elicits a cornucopia of grace-filled notes from all of the musicians who are in his orchestra as he tries to orchestrate the kingdom of God here on earth. He is the conductor, the good conductor. And you and I are the musicians in his orchestra. Isn't that marvelous? He invites us by his grace and empowers us with his spirit to play our part in building up the kingdom of God here on earth. He is the conductor, and we are the musicians. Basically, that's what both Jesus and Paul are driving at in both of these texts that we just read a moment ago. Jesus is telling us that God has invested in each and every one of us He's invested us. He's blessed us. And Jesus is saying he's blessed us so that we could be a blessing and help to build up his kingdom. The text here in the New Living Translation says he's given us bags of silver. The Old Living Bible says bags of gold. And the difference is, different translations, the word really was talent. Talent. And it's a word that was used for money back in the time that Jesus used it, but it also encompassed anything that we've been given, anything that we've been blessed with. And the word kind of not only had to do with money and possessions, but also gifts and abilities and talents. The point of the parable not being so much about what we've received, but how we use what we've received. And Jesus minces no words. God expects a return on his investment. He expects us to sit down in the orchestra and play the instrument that he's given us to play, whatever that might be. He expects a return on his investment. Paul's saying the same thing. He takes the principle and he expands on it. He talks about spiritual gifts, not only here in Ephesians where he talks about the five of the speaking gifts, prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and apostles, but in some of his other letters he writes about some of the other gifts. For example, I'm going to turn quickly here to Romans chapter 12 where he's talking about the same thing. And it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to speak with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take it seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So in Romans, he's thinking about that congregation, and he's telling them about some of these gifts. Are that all the gifts? No, that's not all the gifts. He's writing his letter to the Corinthians, and he says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, the gift of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. We all have faith in Christ, but some people are endowed with the supernatural gift of an extraordinary faith to believe God for extraordinary things. So the gift of faith. To someone else, the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to preach. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. But it is the one and the only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. A little later on in the letter, he says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you are part of it. And here are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, gifts of healing, those who have the gift of helping. Very important gift of helping. Those who have the gift of leadership. Those who speak in unknown languages. There's a lot of gifts listed there. I'll save you the trouble of counting them. There's 21 listed in the New Testament. But I don't believe, there are some who do, but I don't believe they're exhaustive. I believe that there are other gifts that weren't mentioned here. It just so happens that Paul, as he's writing, inspired by the Spirit, for sure, lists these gifts. But I believe that there are other gifts. And some of you probably know some of the gifts that you have that weren't listed here, but they are God-given abilities to do music. And I even think that cooking well is a gift. And I don't think the gifts are exhaustive. But anyway, the point of all this is that we have been given gifts. Jesus says that we've been given gifts and God expects a return on his investment. And Paul is telling us that as more and more people use what they've been given, the church will be built up and growing and full of love. Therefore, better able to accomplish its mission. Pretty simple message today, isn't it? All right. Let me pause for a second. If I pick my nose today, it's because right now it seems like there's a little bug inside of it, and it's just itching. And I can't hardly stand it anymore, and that's why every once in a while I take out my hank. And I know there's really nothing there, so it must be an errant hair or something like that. I don't know what it is. But I apologize if I do that, because it might reach a point where I just can't stand it anymore. So, good little segue to the next portion. Oh, my. I feel the need to give us a warning. And probably this warning is meant for me more than anybody else sitting here today. And I want you to hold me accountable to this. Here's a thought that came to me about the gifts of the Spirit and their relationship to the fruit of the Spirit. I think the fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes certain individuals can get so busy working for the Lord that it distracts us from accomplishing what the Lord really wants, and that's drawing close to Him through Bible and prayer and nurturing our spirit. See, you know where I'm going with that? And some people, like me, salve ourselves by telling myself, well, I'm busy for the Lord. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm right where the Lord wants me. When the truth of the matter is, when I look at my spiritual life and where it should be, I know I allow the busyness of what I do every day to interfere with my own prayer and scripture reading walk. And that is wrong. And I'm just giving this warning. I know it's true of me, and I'm just giving it to all of us, because I believe the New Testament teaches that the fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gifts of the Spirit. And the reason I say that is because when Paul is writing in Corinthians, he's talking about all those wonderful gifts that those Corinthians have. But he knows that they've been bragging about their gifts. They've been using them enthusiastically. And he goes on and on about their gifts, and he praises them for their gifts. But then he gives them a little warning, and he says at the end of that chapter 12 on the gifts, it's great that you have these gifts and you should desire them, but I'm going to show you now a more excellent way. And he turns to chapter 13, known as the love chapter. He says, you might have the gift of speaking in tongues, but if you don't have love, then you're nothing. You might have the gift of offering your body to be burned, to becoming a martyr of the church, he says, but if you have not love, it counts for nothing. And on Paul goes, and then he turns to divine love. And I think what Paul's doing is setting a standard, and he's trying to tell us, allow the fruit of the Spirit to drive the gifts of the Spirit. Work on our character first. And as we work on our character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. As we work on those things, allow them to bring forth the gifts of the Spirit. And I think the most important one of those gifts of fruit, is faithfulness. When it comes to using the gifts of the Spirit, it's faithfulness is the most important, because Jesus, when he in that parable there, remember he said, you've been faithful in using what I've given you. So it seems to me that the fruit of the Spirit that should drive the gifts is the fruit of faithfulness. Faithfulness. That makes sense? It was the faithfulness of the leaders of the church who cooked up the idea of having a cheeseburger in paradise float in the Chippewa Lake 4th of July tropical paradise themed parade. It was the 8 leaders of our church who cooked up that idea. It was the faithfulness of Bill Richardson who loaned the wagon for the church. It was the faithfulness of Brad and April Winter to go up to Richardson's farm and haul that wagon down here, and when we were done with it, they hauled it back up to the Richardsons. It was the faithfulness of Jim and Lindsay and Juliana Brandenburg and Gail and I who fashioned together the palm trees. There's one of them. They're kind of looking sad today, aren't they? It was the faithfulness of Jim and Lindsay and Juliana and Gail and Chris Lawrence and Russ Ader and I who decorated the float the morning of. It was the faithfulness of Jim who loaded his truck with the necessary sound equipment. It was the faithfulness of Heidi Cantlin who expertly pulled that float CDL and all, through that parade, along with her co-pilot. Where's the co-pilot? Gail was the co-pilot. It was the faithfulness of Jim and John and Lindsay and Don and Robin and I who played and sang Cheeseburger in Paradise while Russ Ader flipped the imaginary cheeseburgers and Nick and Cameron and Abigail threw candy to the kids. And it was the faithfulness, last but not least, of Nancy Carr and Lee and Marie Kehoe, who walked behind the float and passed out 300 invitations to our
ran
next...
Ran behind the float.
Ran behind the float. At times. I was worried about you guys.
I was worried about Marie.
And they passed out those invitations to our next community meal, where we are serving, guess what?
Cheeseburgers. And by the way, we had a really good response from 99% of the people we handed
them.
We were very
happy. You only have a couple of thousand people on.
You might have to do it all over again under the pavilion.
I also want to mention, I asked Gail today, did I forget anybody on this list? If I did, I apologize. But she mentioned to me, don't forget all the people who were praying for this event. Oh, it was the faithfulness of Alan who went over and received the trophy.
There you go.
I loved it. It's a faithfulness of the Lions Club that produced the whole thing.
That's right. The faithfulness of the Lions Club who put the whole thing on. So it was the fruit of the spirit of faithfulness that enabled these 26 people, who I just named, there were 26 people who were involved in that whole event, that enabled the church, Cross Point Community Church, to be growing, like Paul says, and full of love, and sharing God's grace with our community, fulfilling our mission. I should have mentioned the signs that Gail came up with the slogan, and Lindsay made the signs to kind of tie it all together. On the side of the float with the sign said destination, paradise. And you know, people saw that it was Cross Point Church and saw destination paradise, and people have been praying, and we were fulfilling our mission of sharing God's grace with the community. It happened because of the faithfulness of 26 people, plus all the people who were praying for it. And I guess, speaking for the invitations you set out and looking forward to the last Friday of this month and the cheeseburgers that we're going to have, I think we need to continue to pray that people will respond to that invitation. And we need to pray that we will have enough cheeseburgers and enough chefs. I think Alan's, no, Vanna said for you that you had a grill maybe you could bring up here. We might need more than one grill. I don't know what to expect.
We got a grill.
But cool. Anyway, you get my drift. Let's let the fruit of the Spirit, and in this case, faithfulness, drive our passion for using what God has given us to accomplish His will in this place. That's what we need to remember. I want to turn back to those gifts for a moment. We talked about the fruit and the relationship between the two, but gifts are important, and I just want to briefly mention that it may be possible that some of you are sitting here today thinking, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I read those 21 gifts, and I don't know if it computed, and some of you might be thinking, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Well, if you don't, I encourage you to go online and Google spiritual gifts inventory. And if you remember those three words, spiritual gifts inventory, the first Google page that comes up has 12 different ones on it. People are putting this stuff out there for several years, and it just takes you through, do you like this, do you like that? There may be anywhere from 40 to 120 little statements you respond to, and in the end it'll kick back to you, here's what a good chance that your spiritual gift or gifts are. If you've never done that, I encourage you to do that. Some of you know what your gifts are, and kind of intuitively you know what you're good at, and you offer it to the church, and that's marvelous. But if you've never thought about this, or never explored it, then I encourage you to go online and do a spiritual gifts inventory and see what you come up with. You're going to have fun. You're going to learn something about yourself you never knew, perhaps. Because the Bible is very clear that anybody who's in Christ has been given a gift, one or more gifts, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It behooves every Christian to know what that gift is, and then to invest it and to begin to use it. Speaking of this, I wanted to get a little practical. There's a couple of areas in the church right now where you can use your gifts, talents, abilities, and your passion. We are creating a handyman ministry. So far, the people who volunteered are Lee Kehoe and John Vigliotti. I don't know. Was there another? Seems like there was a third one, wasn't there, Lee?
Yeah, there was.
We're looking for 3 or 4 or 5 guys who participate in the handyman ministry. We have a building that's aging there. And it just kind of, it'll get away from us if we don't start taking care of it on a regular basis. And there's a number of things that need to be done that 3 or 4 guys, we're asking, would get together, pal around for a couple hours on some Saturday morning or something like this, and just do this or that, whatever needs to be done. The trustees will let you know what those things are that need to be done. So we're looking for other people to join Lee and John Vigliotti, and there's one other person, I don't remember who it is right now. It was Jim Arthur? Okay. Thank you, Jim. And anybody else who might want to join that handyman ministry. Another thing we're looking for, I'm pulling together a visitation ministry. And about a month ago, I met with 4 people, and we trained them about 20 or 30 minutes, trained 4 people, and I have 2 more who want to be trained today. So we have 6 people now who want to go out and visit people in their homes or shut-ins or nursing homes or hospitals. And if you want to join, I'm going to be training Marie. Who's the other person?
Rhonda.
Marie and Rhonda, right after the service today. Take about 20 minutes. If you're interested in joining them, that's a place where you can use your gift of encouragement, because that's the kind of gift that is. We're going to be looking, I'm looking for small group facilitators. So either the gift of leadership or teaching or a combination thereof of those two gifts. Looking for small group facilitators for in the future. Kids worship, we're kind of short on kids worship. Those of you who have the fruit of patience and the gift of teaching and the passion for children, we're always looking for people. I think we're kind of one short right now for trying to fill children's worship 4 Sundays a month. And likewise, nursery. We're always looking for people to serve in the nursery about once a month or so. If you your passion is to be with kids and you've got patience, and that would be a wonderful thing to do. There are some things that don't particularly need specific gifts, but rather all of us can participate together to build up the church, as Paul said in Ephesians, and make it holy and growing and full of love. All of us can participate in certain things. That is, all of us can help. And that's a gift. Paul mentioned the gift of helping. And a couple ideas here, or a couple things I want to talk about, is the gather to scatter. The whole church can mobilize on gather to scatter Sunday. And wouldn't it be marvelous if on gather, the next gather to scatter, which is coming up here shortly, the last Sunday this month, wouldn't it be marvelous if 100% of the people in the church, because everybody could participate in that gather to scatter stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And we have a great project, at least one, that's on the books right now. And that is, we're going to be going down to the Village Inn on Gather to Scatter Sunday. Ken and Karen were walking in there a month or so ago, and Karen turned to Ken, if I'm wrong, help me out here, said, here's a project we can help Suzanne with right here. And I asked Suzanne, and she said it'd be marvelous to help her out. And that is to sand down and paint the steps leading up to the Village Inn. And if we have enough help, and I'm sure we're going to after this message today, we will work on the deck in the back or anything else that Suzanne has. I'm so excited to be able to partner with Suzanne Rentschler in the Village Inn. She does so much for this community. She has a great big heart. And if it wasn't for Suzanne living in this community, it just wouldn't be the same community. And for us to be able to partner with her together is a privilege and an honor. And thank you for letting us come alongside you, Suzanne. And you got a great heart there, and you're always doing stuff for people. So that's one of the things we're going to do on the next Gather to Scatter Sunday. And then, of course, Polar Bear is coming right around the corner. And we all get involved with Polar Bear. And I'm just mentioning that there are some things that some of us are gifted to do specifically. Not all of you are cut out to visit. Not all of you are cut out to be a small group facilitator, but all of us can pull together and help on Gather to Scatter and other such projects. And as we do so, the kingdom of God is being built as God is using us. All righty. I think I've yakked enough. I've talked enough. I want to close with a story, actually. This is kind of an apocryphal story about maybe in a time long, long ago in a country far, far away, there was a band of minstrels. You know what minstrels are? A group of singers who made their way around their country, putting on little concerts here and there to try to eke out a living. And times became tough for this band because economic downturn in that country at the time, and people like you and I didn't have a lot of extra money to be spending to going and seeing a concert put on by a group of minstrels, even though they didn't charge very much of a fee for their concerts. And times were tough, and one day the guys and the gals decided to sit down and talk about their plight and whether or not they should continue on. And one of them said, well, I think we probably ought to cancel tonight's show. And another one said, yeah, there haven't been too many coming to the shows lately, and it's supposed to snow tonight, and who's going to come out on a night like this? And another one said, yeah, that's how can we expect people to come out? And another one said something about how can, it's so hard for us when there's so few people in the audience to do a good job, and why don't we just cancel tonight? So they all agreed, let's cancel the show for the night. And then one guy turned to the guy next to him and said, well, what do you think? And he happened to be the oldest and the wisest guy in their minstrel group. And he said, well, I understand why you're discouraged. I'm discouraged too. But I think we ought to have the show tonight. No matter how many come, doesn't matter. We need to put on the show, and we need to do the very best job we can for whoever shows up. And it's not the fault of those who come that others don't. So let's put the show on again tonight and see what happens. Let's do the very best we can. So they put on the show, and they did the very best. They did the best job they'd done in quite a while. They were so encouraged by this wise old fella. And after the few people that attended the show left, the wise fellow called the others over, and he had some excitement in his eyes, and he had a note in his hand. And he said, come over and see what I've got here. And they all gathered around him, and he opened up the note, and it simply said, your performance tonight was magnificent. And it was simply signed, your king. Your king. So, just, I thought, a little story to tell us that the king who's with us now is also with us when we go out on a float or whatever we do on his behalf. When we go to the village inn for Gather to Scatter next, the king will be right alongside us. And he will be applauding you and I. Let's continue to use the gifts driven by the fruit of faithfulness to accomplish God's will in this place together. For there are many, many people, there goes my baton, who are yet to be reached in our very backyard. And that, after all, is what this is all about. This isn't about us. This is about us being a blessing to others. We've been blessed to be a blessing to reach others, for Christ's sake. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and each person who came here today. And I thank you, Lord, for Paul's writing about the gifts of the Spirit, and Jesus talking about how we are encouraged to use what we've been blessed with for your glory. Thank you for all the things that happened in the life of this congregation. Show us the way. Continue to inspire us with ideas and ways that we can reach out into this community and spread your grace and love in any way, shape, or form in order that we might reach people for you, O Lord. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.